The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
Here's a question that's been asked for the past 2,000 years. It was first asked by fishermen during a storm. The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other. When he gives command, even the wind and waves obey him. Who is this man? This man is Jesus. We've started today in the New Testament book of Hebrews. And it was written to answer a few questions like, who is this man? Where did he come from? How did he fulfill all the Old Testament laws and prophecies? And why is it that all of time, past, present, and future, is measured by what happened before Jesus and what happened after Jesus? And who is this Jesus today? National Geographic premiered its adaptation of Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Jesus. And they had a viewing audience of 3.7 million viewers, the biggest audience for National Geographic. Jesus, over the years, has been reimagined. He's turned into a joke. He's portrayed as a myth through the years. No wonder there's so much widespread confusion over who he is. Based on the Barna Group research, 92% of Americans believe he's simply a historical figure. 56% believe that Jesus is God or a God. 26% say that Jesus is a spiritual leader. 18% say that Jesus is divine. Notice the numbers are getting lower. 17% of millennials don't know who or what Jesus is. And 2 in 5 Americans say they've confessed their sin and professed their faith in Jesus. CBN News reported that only 17% say they attend church, and then only on special occasions like funerals and weddings. 17%. We study the Bible to get an accurate picture of who Jesus is. The writer of the book of Hebrews has been called author unknown. The book doesn't have his name, and it doesn't have the intended audience. Many think that the writer of the book of Hebrews is Paul, but it's missing Paul's customary greetings and terminology. The writer of Hebrews is well-educated. He's very ornate. In fact, the vocabulary is so sophisticated, the book of Hebrews has 150 words not repeated anywhere else in the New Testament. Some believe the book's writer is Luke, Apollos, Barnabas, Silas, Philip, Aquila, Priscilla, and the list goes on. One of the early church fathers said it right about the authorship of Hebrews, saying, God only knows. But the Holy Spirit is the author of all Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. In 2 Peter chapter 1, no prophecy ever originated from humans. Instead, it was given by the Holy Spirit as humans spoke under God's direction. And the date of the writing of the book is guesstimated around 65 AD. And they say this because Timothy was still alive. He's mentioned in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. He's a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. Plus, it never mentioned or even hinted at the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. So it had to be written before. And who was it written to? It's written to many Jewish Christians who were slipping back into the rites and rituals of Judaism. It was written to 4 basic groups, and if this sounds familiar, these groups still exist. Jewish and Gentile Christians who were considering giving up. It was written to unbelievers who knew about Jesus, they understood basic facts about him, but they'd made no commitments. It was written to unbelievers who outright rejected Jesus, and it was written to devoted, active Christians. I think that covers all the bases. Hebrews proves that everything in Judaism was only shadows or forerunners of what Jesus came to fulfill. The author constantly throughout the book compares the Old Testament sacrificial system to its completion in Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus gives direct access to God, meaning you don't have to go through a priest anymore to get to God. That's going to upset some Christianized religions today. Under this new plan, we've been forgiven and made clean by Christ dying for us once and for all. See, Jesus brought and bought a new, perfect, permanent agreement between God and mankind. And he's better than anything this world has, and as far as religion. God has come to save his people. Jesus is portrayed in a variety of ways today. You've seen it. His name is printed on lots of stuff. You can get shirts and bags and accessories with Jesus on it. Jesus appears on The Simpsons and South Park cartoons, and it's always in a negative light. Carrie Underwood sold 3 million copies of her song, Jesus Take the Wheel. It earned her a Grammy and won Single Album of the Year in 2005. You remember the Beatles? John Lennon? John Lennon said, Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right. And I'll be proved right. We are more popular than Jesus now. Oh, by the way, John Lennon and the Beatles are gone. Jesus is still here. And at one point, Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. He's Messiah, Son of God, simply Jesus. Hebrews was written to encourage and warn those Christians who are thinking about giving up. In fact, it's a woo-hoo, champion, motivational type of book. Throughout the book of Hebrews is encouragement. The book warns Christians on 5 different topics: negligence, unbelief, immaturity, willful sinning, and unresponsiveness. And we deal with those things now. And chapter 10 of Hebrews covers past, present, and future. The Lord will judge his own people. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. And living in this volatile world of indescribable evil is a good reminder for Christians to value what lasts the longest. Hebrews tells Christians who Jesus is, that he's worth staying faithful to. And he starts out the book, in the beginning was Jesus. In fact, Genesis 1, John chapter 1, and Hebrews chapter 1 all begin with God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. And if you read the creation narrative, God's word created everything. John chapter 1 identifies God's word that created everything as a person. John 1:1, in the beginning the word already existed. The word was with God. The word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So he was God and existed before the universe was created, and John introduces him as Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 starts by telling what the Word did in the beginning. I'll read the first 3 verses. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times and in many ways through the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. He's the one through whom God created the universe, the one whom God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness for the sins of all human beings, he sat down in heaven at the right side of God, the supreme power. And we're going to unpack this. Who is this Jesus? And the Christians didn't really know who Jesus was. The writer will say in Hebrews chapter 5, It's difficult to explain, especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. How's that for brutally honest? You've been believers so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. The spiritually dull are immature. They don't listen. They don't hardly recognize the difference between right and wrong. And so many Christians will start out strong, but lose what they've received. In the parable of the four soils, it's a parable of the church. All four soils received the seed. And Jesus said the seed is the word of God. And three-fourths lost it over time for different reasons. 13 times the Greek word appears in the book of Hebrews, keteton. And it's the word better. Jesus is better. And he explains over and over how. He's better than angels. That's next week's sermon. He's better than Moses, Joshua, Aaron, Abraham, Melchizedek. He's a better minister and priest. He's better than the old covenant. He brings a better promise, and he is a better sacrifice. And it's interesting, if you do an internet search on Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, you'll find many sermon series on Hebrews titled, Jesus is Better. Well, he's best, actually, but we'll get to that.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Jesus is God's first and last word. Hebrews 1:1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors at many different times and many different ways through the prophets. But God spoke to a few men and only in fragments. And those experiences were like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that doesn't give the whole picture until it's put together with other pieces. And that's what people do with their theology. They'll say, I'll take that one and build an entire theology around two pieces. And by the way, it's like the story. It's first told in 500 years B.C., that's before Christ, about blind men describing an elephant. And here's how the original story went. Blind men examined an animal called an elephant. They all touched a different part. One described the elephant as a thick snake trunk. One touched the ear and described it as a fan. One touched the leg and said it was a tree trunk. One touched its side and said it was a wall. One touched its tail and said it was a rope. And one touched its tusk and said it was hard and smooth like a spear. Which one was right? And which one was right all by themselves? Six blind elephants wondered what men were like. So the blind elephants found a man, and they all moved in and examined the man, and all of them agreed, men are squished flat. God revealed himself at various times in many different ways. And since no man can see God and live, the Bible says, they described him without seeing him as blind men would. And God spoke to them, and they recorded their personal experience. He spoke to Moses like a trumpet on Mount Sinai. To Elijah, he was a whisper. And to Daniel, he came in a dream. To Abraham, he came in human form. To Jacob, he was an angelic wrestler. And if you put all of those fragments together with all the other fragments, and you wrap it in skin, you have Jesus. Verse 2 of our text. Now in these final days, he's spoken to us through his Son. The Old Testament is the written word of God. The New Testament introduces the living word of God. You remember an angel that said about Jesus, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. I've got some questions about the birth of Jesus. The wise men, you remember, they brought presents to baby Jesus. Were those Christmas presents or birthday presents? And if Mary gave birth to Jesus and Jesus is the Lamb of God, did Mary have a little lamb? Profound. Jesus brought light and life into a world of darkness, chaos, emptiness. And he can do the same in our life if we let him in. 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. And Jesus is God's first and last word. He was in the beginning, the very beginning, before the beginning, with God. He's introduced in the first and the last chapter of Revelation. And this description is in both the first and the last chapter. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And Jesus' last words, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And people have problems with this too. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And Jesus describes this process, new birth, new creation, in John chapter 3. I'm telling you the truth, Jesus replied. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Well, we know who the Holy Spirit is. What water is he talking about? Jesus is the heir. Verse 2, God has appointed him heir of all things. And the Greek word heir is translated inheritor, right of the Son. Successor, possessor, receiver, the first in line, the heir. And Bible scholars point this out as a messianic prophecy from Psalm chapter 2. For the Lord declares, I place my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, my holy mountain. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Only ask, and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. And then Paul applied this prophecy to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, when God puts everything under Christ's authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority. Since God has put everything under the Son's authority, then God will be in control of everything. How's that for twisty-curvy? Christians are given a share of the inheritance. Paul told the Christians in Rome, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. He told Christians in Galatia, if you belong to Christ, then you are heirs according to the promise. Jesus is creator, the Hebrew writer says right off the bat. His Son is the one through whom God made the universe. You know, many Christians don't know that Jesus made everything. Teaching about Jesus to scholars in Athens in Acts the 17th chapter, Paul says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. He himself gives life and breath to everything. He satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. John said in his identification of who the Word was, he created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. But although he made the world didn't recognize him when he came. Jesus created everything. And I'll give you a homework assignment, and I'm right. This is going to come true. Ask Christians. Ask your friends who created the world. And they will say God. And if you say, could you be more specific? They're going to look at you like you're crazy. And if you tell them, the Bible says Jesus created everything, they're going to be amazed that you would say that. Colossians 1:15, he existed before everything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Everything was created through him and for him. So if we're having trouble keeping things together, we need to try Jesus, who's an expert at putting chaos back into order. Our biggest problems aren't big to Jesus. But if we do that, we need to be prepared to do as he says. Otherwise, it's like having a cure for a fatal disease and not applying it according to the directions. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Evolutionists, Lord bless them, believe the Big Bang Theory, how everything came to be, and I believe it too. God spoke it, and bang, it happened. I was watching the History Channel, and they talk about the world evolving over trillions of years, whatever. They weren't there as eyewitnesses. They come up with dating theories that's based on their scientific evidence. And by the way, you know how science worked so well during COVID. Oh my goodness, they were changing every day. Theories push evolution as fact. A dead fish was laying outside of a fish tank on the floor, and one of the two remaining fish in the tank asked the other, "What happened?" The other said, "I don't know. He just yelled evolution and jumped out." Doesn't work out very well. Child asked her father, "Where did we come from?" And dad said, "God created us." Child asked the mother the same question, and she says, "We evolved from monkeys." Child went back to her father, "Why did you say we came from God?" And mom said, "We came from monkeys." And dad said, "I told you about my side of the family." Time did an article that was titled, "Why Science Does Not Disprove God." And it did a really good job of laying out the absolute improbability and possibility of ending up with this infinitely complex world happening by random chance. And at the end of the article, they say, "The incredible fine-tuning of the universe presents the most powerful argument for the existence of an immanent creative entity we may as well call God." Isn't that interesting? And God created what he created with apparent age. The Bible says in Genesis 1, there was evening and morning after each day of creation, and evening and morning marks off a 24-hour period of time. Jesus created matter, atmosphere, land, water, fruit-bearing trees, birds, fish, animals, and a grown man and woman in that order. And all of these things happened in 6 24-hour days. But if scientists and evolutionists had examined everything 1 week after creation, they would conclude the world is billions of years old rather than 1 week old. We are made in the image of God, and we too can create brand new objects that look like genuine antiques. We can do that. One person explained the agenda of evolutionists by saying, by removing God from our world, we remove any requirements and expectations that God puts on us. Isn't that nice? Jesus is God. According to the Bible and according to the writer of the Hebrews, verse 3, God's Son shines out with God's glory, and all that God's Son is and does marks him as God. Kind of ashamed of my namesake, Philip. In John 14, Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father. That'll satisfy us." And Jesus replied, "I've been with all of you for a long time. Don't you know me yet, Philip? The person who has seen me has seen the Father. I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me." Elsewhere, in John 10, Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." Paul told Christians in Colossae, God was pleased to have all of himself live in Christ. And how God is three in one is beyond our understanding. But there is a heresy that's called modalism that's commonly used to explain God. And the analogy, probably the most popular, is the egg. You've got a shell, yolk, and egg white, and that's together an egg. But God isn't divided into parts, and a yolk is not a complete egg. The shell isn't a complete egg. H2O can be water, steam, or ice, but God doesn't switch states and modes. The Father never becomes the Son or becomes the Holy Spirit. Job said it this way, God is greater than we can understand. Jesus is completely 100% God walking around in a body. And he holds everything together. Verse 3, he holds everything together through his powerful words. Colossians 1:17, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. So if you'd like to get it together and keep it together, get together with Jesus.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.